Good afternoon and welcome to everyone. Recently, I was thinking about what topic we all need to hear more about. All of us, whether we're young or old. The answer came as I was reading the May-June 2023 issue of Beyond Today. Most of this issue dealt with the fact that the world today is rejecting God and embracing evil. It's a very sobering issue. But what I want to focus on came to me in a single sentence. It was written at the end of the first article titled, "A World Embracing Evil." And I'll quote, "A strong mind spiritually attuned to God's way of life is the best way to resist demonic influence and the growing evil of the world around us." So the article didn't say this specifically, but it made me realize how critical it is that we guard our minds and pay attention to what we're thinking all the time to make sure that we're not being lulled into accepting ideas that are evil and dangerous. Looking further, I came across another Beyond Today article from the January-February 2019 issue. That article was titled, "The Battle Over What You Think." That really covers a vast area because it deals not only with what we try to think about and should think about, but what Satan is trying to get us to think about instead. As the article began, it mentioned the care that we take to lock up our homes and cars and anything else we care about. And then it asks us a question. How much effort do you put into protecting something far more valuable? Your mind. I'm afraid that sometimes none of us put enough effort into protecting our minds. Every day we hear and see things that are ungodly and that are designed to weaken our desire to seek out what is true and stick only to that. Our minds can be very valuable tools. We probably have all heard the expression, we become what we think about. We will become what we think about, whether we like it or not. For us, this is especially a good thing if we have the right focus. That focus, of course, should be becoming valuable parts of the kingdom of God as a member of God's family. And we're never too young to think about how we will fit into that family. Let's turn to Proverbs and notice what God tells us. Proverbs 4:23, and I'll read this from the Good News Translation. "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." The bottom line is, God will judge all of us by what is in our hearts and minds. It's not that our actions aren't important, but he wants our actions to be driven by ongoing concern and love for one another. And those are characteristics that come from our minds. We can probably all talk a good talk, but God wants more than that. Satan tries his best to get us to waste our time on effortless distractions or things that should never enter our mind, things that we should not be thinking about even briefly, let alone all day long. One of the things that we should be learning is that we have to be careful about what we allow into our minds in the first place. This goes for all of us, regardless of our age. What we think about daily will determine our true character, because character begins in our thoughts. The thoughts that flash through our mind, positive or negative, go stronger each time that we think about them. One analogy is that our brain is like a garden. In a garden, we can plant good seeds like corn or bad seeds like ragweed. The soil itself is neutral. Whatever seed we plant determines the crop we will have. And the brain itself, like soil, is neutral. The thoughts that we drop into it on a continual basis are essentially the seeds that we are sowing. We are planting a future crop in our mind with every thought that we drop in. Again, this goes for all of us, whether we're young or old. Everyone is putting in seeds that eventually will bear fruit. We're told in Galatians 6, verse 7, that a man reaps what he sows. What kinds of seeds are we sowing in our mind? That's what we will reap, sooner or later. Since it's so important to plant the right thing in our, the right thoughts in our minds, we must pick and choose what we allow to enter. We can filter the material that enters our mind by following the advice that Paul gives us in Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. I'm going to read this from the Good News Translation. In conclusion, my friends, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. Yes, we are to fill our minds with these things so that there's no room for anything else. Basically, Paul is telling us to focus on two categories, whatever is good and whatever is worthy of praise. In today's society, I think we can see that we've got a problem right now. We have to work at not listening to or reading about things that are not true or pure. As the article I referred to pointed out, the problem today that we have is, and I'll quote, "We are living in a world of lies." It goes on to say, "The news media have changed from reporting facts to reporting opinions masquerading as facts. The only opinions that we should trust are God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. All other opinions are subject to bias." Every one of us may have an unconscious bias. We all have opinions about everything, but that's all they are, our opinions. We have to work at finding positive and true things to think about, which is why we are blessed today to have the excellent magazines and booklets that we have and the internet for many of us, where we can go and find materials there. If we don't look at our materials, what are we going to find? Lies, deceptions, wrong ways to make us look normal, and crazy ideas that everyone should have rejected years ago. God doesn't expect us to read only the Bible or to avoid everything that is on TV. The Bible is not the only good thing that we can put in our minds, but some of us rarely pick up a Bible or Beyond Today or one of our booklets. I remember being told some time ago that we should spend at least an equal amount of time reading the Bible or other church material as we do reading other materials. Today, we might even include the amount of time we spend on social network, online games, and so forth. Yes, it takes work to fill our minds with the true and positive and worthwhile things. The opposite kind of materials just seem to fall in our laps. And unless we're on guard, we'll give in to them. In Colossians 3, verse 2, Paul reminds the Colossians, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. We need to remember that many of the things of this world that are so pleasurable to people today will not be carried over into the kingdom of God. We won't be glued to our smartphones or staying up all hours playing online video games. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. I'll use the New International Version for this. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How are we going to make our thoughts and ways closer to God? Well, familiar with John 17:17, where Christ tells us, thy word is truth. So we know that one of the primary ways to get our thoughts into alignment with God's is to use the Bible as a guide. Study God's word. Learn to recognize truth from lies. If we want to rid ourselves of wrong thoughts and develop God's mind and way of thinking, here are a few things that we can do. First of all, learn to recognize when we have wrong thoughts. As we study God's word, we should be noticing the difference between what God thinks and what we think. We should be recognizing the difference between what's going on today in society and what God is preparing us for. In Corinthians 10, verse 5, Paul tells us to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Christ managed to bring all his thoughts into captivity, and he is to be our example. But nobody said it would be easy, and we won't make it just by relying on our own strength. We won't make it unless we learn to do what Christ did. Even Christ said in John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing. He asked God for help constantly. Another thing that we can do to rid ourselves of wrong thoughts and develop God's mind and way of thinking is to repent of any wrong thoughts that do get past our defenses and replace them immediately with right thoughts. Remember, God made our minds to react to and actually become what we think about all day long. The time to disregard and discard a negative thought is before it gets planted in our mind. A third thing that we can do to keep resisting the sinful thought when it returns we need to keep resisting the sinful thought because it will return. Satan wants to put the wrong thoughts back in our mind. And unfortunately, unless we block him, Satan has easy access into our minds. He is the prince of the power of the air, as Ephesians 2, verse 2 tells us. And he broadcasts wrong attitudes 24 hours a day. Our hardest battle will always be in our mind, in those thoughts that precede the action we choose to take. And I repeat, no one ever said it would be easy to win this battle. Let's look at Romans 7. Again, I'll be reading from the Good News. We'll be breaking into Paul's comments about how he found himself doing the opposite of what he knew to do and actually wanted to do. Romans 7, starting in 22. My inner being delights in the law of God, but I see a different law at work in my body, a law that fights against the law which my mind approves of. It makes me a prisoner to the law of sin, which is at work in my body. Much as everyone in this room probably agrees that God's laws are good and what we want to obey, we don't always manage it. As mentioned before, it will not be through our power that we conquer sin. Continuing in verse 24, what an unhappy man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is taking me to death? Thanks be to God who does this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then this is my condition. On my own, I can serve God's law only with my mind, while my human nature serves the law of sin. Let's continue in chapter 8 and look at a few verses. To give further proof that we cannot make it on our own. Romans 8, verse 6. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Verse 8. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. So how will we be able to make it? Verse 11. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from death lives in you, then he who raised Christ from death will also give life to your mortal bodies by the presence of his Spirit in you. So then, my friends, we have an obligation, but it is not to live as our human nature wants us to. If you live according to your human nature, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put, to death your sinful actions, you will live. The way we will make it into God's kingdom will be by our obedience and our willingness to submit our will to God's. We will never make it on our own. But with God's help, we will not fail. So, difficult to keep our minds under control? Yes. But basically what Romans 8 is telling us is that our minds are either going to be set on things of the Spirit or things of the flesh. We are on our own day by day to choose which it will be. We choose what or who we will listen to, what we will watch, what we will read. God has told us what we should choose, but he doesn't make us do it. It's our responsibility to learn to recognize, repent of, replace, and resist wrong thoughts with his help. God gives us responsibility to protect our minds. What we allow ourselves to think may eventually determine whether we enter God's kingdom. Understanding the way our mind works helps us realize why God told us that we need to do more than just fulfill the letter of the law. Let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 48, I'll read from the New International. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's why David had already sinned with Bathsheba before she even entered his home. it's a lot easier to understand why Christ expanded the commandment in this way when you realize that the brain cannot differentiate between a thought and an action. If we think it, we have as good as committed the action. In this case, the sin is as good as committed, and it is our character that is affected. So using God's Holy Spirit, which we have in us, or which is with us if we're still children or unbaptized, we are to be learning to judge properly between right and wrong, and to choose the right. Yes, even children should know the difference between right and wrong and learn to choose the right. Every thought we have sinks into our mind and into our very nature. What we think determines how we will behave. Our ability to keep our thoughts on what we want and off what we don't want is the real measure of our strength of character. But as Paul showed us, sometimes in our minds we want to do the right thing, but we don't always succeed. We just have to keep trying. Anyone can quit, but do you want to be in this world naked? If we quit, that's what will happen to us. Without God's Holy Spirit in us, and for our children with them, we will all be defenseless. We don't have to sin, but once we set our minds against sin, God better be our partner, or we won't make it on our own. That means we need to start and stay close to God each and every day. We need to seek first the kingdom of God, as Matthew 6:33 tells us. Another scripture we're all familiar with is Ephesians 6, where we're instructed to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice right from the very beginning whose power we're to rely on. Not our own. We don't have the power to fight the adversary that wants to infiltrate our minds with his own thoughts. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What exactly are wiles? They're tricks and deceptions, possibly even hoaxes and scams, and twigs that we get tangled up with because we're not on guard and not filtering our thoughts and ideas that try to enter our mind. Now, I'd like to read a few more verses from the Good News Translation, Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. Sometimes we forget that our enemy cannot be seen, but it's more real than anything that we can see. So the admonition in verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The advice is not to even try to go against our unseen evil enemy on our own if we want to have any hope of making it. Verse 14. So stand ready, with truth as a belt tied around your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate. If we keep the truth of God close to us, we should not have to worry about being deceived by anyone, even ourselves. If we keep God's law in our minds, We won't be able to convince ourselves that something is okay, even when we know it is not. We won't make excuses for why it's okay for us to go ahead and do something that we know is wrong. Verse 16, at all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. Those burning arrows or fiery darts are those thoughts that come into our minds that are inappropriate, unproductive, unchristian. Now hold your place in Ephesians, but notice perhaps the fiery darts are fearful thoughts and doubting thoughts, such as the kind mentioned in 2 Peter, 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter 3, 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, some people will appear whose lives are controlled by their own lusts. They will make fun of you and will ask, he promised to come, didn't he? Where is he? Our ancestors have already died, but everything is still the same as it was since the creation of the world. These are the thoughts that must be pulled out immediately or smothered by the shield of faith. Continuing back in Ephesians 6, verse 17, and accept salvation as a helmet and the word of God as a sword which the Spirit gives you. A helmet is specifically designed to protect the head, and the sword is the word of God. With the word of God in our minds, what better protection can we have? It doesn't do us any good to have this armor, to have this protection for our minds and thoughts, if we don't put it on. It doesn't do any good if we don't follow the final piece of advice we see in verse 18. Do all this in prayer and asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. Now, I'd like to go back and read Ephesians 6, 13 to 18 from a version called The Message. Now, it's certainly not a version that I normally look at or one that I would use to prove doctrine, but it happened to be in a parallel Bible, and these verses caught my eye as I was reading the New King James. Ephesians 6, 13, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Our strength comes from God. We do our part by putting on the armor and keeping alert to the world around us and the ideas and temptations that try to reach our minds and cause us to sin. We do this by watching what we read, watching where we go, and where we look. In this way, we can try to prevent sin before it can even start. We need to become experts in knowing how our human nature will react and give ourselves a margin of error. Because unfortunately, our first reaction is still too often a carnal one. Unlike Christ, if someone insults us, what do we normally want to do? If someone hits us, what is our reaction? The golden rule is, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. All too often, our golden rule is do it to others before they can do it to you. Unless we can get control of our minds, our first reaction may not be one that we can be proud of. So what do we do when we spot a wrong thought? Put it out immediately. Don't toy with it. Don't examine it closely to see how it might not be so bad. Get it out of your mind before it can take root. Flip Wilson, a comedian that some of us in this room remember, used to have a line, "The devil made me do it." Well, that's a handy excuse, because there is some truth to it, since Satan is more than happy to help us rationalize our way around the thoughts that enter our mind. Or since he is brazen, he can get us to start blaming God for our sins. After all, wasn't it God who created women's bodies the way he did? Wasn't God the one that made food taste so good that we eat too much of it? Let's look at James 1. James 1, starting with verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Yes, there will be temptations. How else can we build character if we don't have something to strengthen it by? How else will we be able to help someone else, both now and especially in the future, if we have not overcome the temptations that beset us all? Verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. There is nothing that is wrong that is appealing to God, and he's not going to go anywhere near something evil or put it near us. We cannot blame our sins on him." Verse 14, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." We're attracted to things that look appealing to us. Verse 15, "Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Our minds can serve as an incubator for the unrighteous thoughts that enter in. If we don't recognize their source and put them out immediately, they will grow and grow and ultimately spring forth as sinful acts that are no longer just in our minds. And what does that evil thought left to spring forth always lead to? Well, without repentance, it leads to death. It's a busy world we're in. Sometimes God and his ways can get pushed aside as we just try to make it through each day. We don't spend the time or effort we should in active thought and meditation about God and his laws, his word and how they all relate to our lives. It does take effort and planning to avoid sinning. Do we get enough sleep? Sleep deprivation is all too common nowadays, especially as businesses try to do the same or more work with fewer and fewer people. We may think we have to stay up late so we can accomplish all the things we need to do. But there's a price to that. If we're tired, we're less able to keep our guard up. We give in to weaknesses, the temptations that we face. We give in without a fight. Are we under a lot of stress? In addition to the fact that stress can create all kinds of physical problems in our bodies, for us there's an even greater risk, and that is that it will create spiritual problems. Constant stress has been shown to shrink the region of the brain that controls memory and retention. When we are under stress, we don't have the clearest vision. We don't have the patience to work through a complicated decision. Our judgment can be destroyed and our decision-making distorted. And considering the spiritual challenges we face, we need all the help that we can get. We aren't spirit beings yet. We must make sure that we take care of our bodies and keep them in fighting trim. That includes getting enough sleep and reducing stress in our lives. Just as we always want to be on the lookout for sin, we need to make sure we're prepared to resist sin all the time. Without the right focus, we won't keep striving to resist. And by striving is how we're going to assure success. Striving to stay close to God. Striving to obey His commandments. Striving to submit to His will. Striving to follow Christ's example. In John 16:33, we read, "The evening before His crucifixion, Jesus victoriously announced, 'I have overcome the world.'" Yes, Jesus overcame the very things we're struggling against. That's our goal, to be able to say that we overcame the world, not that we were overcome by it. And the place for us to begin overcoming the world is in our minds, our thoughts. We must pay attention to what we have our minds on. We ought to mentally analyze everything: our goals, our music, our humor, our entertainment preferences, even family and social relationships. We need to analyze everything from God's point of view. We have to pay attention to who is telling us what to think. I'd like to quote again from the article, "The Battle Over What You Think." In Western societies today, we're surrounded by news programs, TV entertainment, cable TV, movies, music, newspapers, magazines, educational institutions, think tanks, government bureaucracy, cultural movements, and internet giants like Google and Facebook that all promote the same secular liberal worldview, one that completely leaves God out of the picture and advances causes that are diametrically opposed to God's instruction. Focusing just on media reporters and editors, the article continues, "An exhaustive study compared attitudes of 3,000 reporters and editors with a similar number of members of the general public on such issues as abortion, hiring homosexuals, affirmative action, income inequality, school prayer, the death penalty for convicted murderers, gun rights, defensive spending, and government regulation of business." What did the study reveal? On every issue but one, the responses of the press were more liberal than the general public, often markedly so. The question is raised, In light of all this, why should we let such people tell us what to think? We need to heed God's warning in Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. In Romans 12, 2 tells us, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. We have the power to direct our minds and to open our or close its doors to whatever we will. We're told in Haggai that 1 verse 7 to consider your ways today and every day. That should be our goal. In 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 5, Paul warned of perilous times in the last days. They weren't physical perils that he was referring to. They were attitudes and conduct produced by what Bob Dick once referred to as a spiritually disturbed mind, a spiritually disturbed mind. In another article in the January-February 2019 Beyond Today magazine, What's Behind the Growing Culture Wars, the author explains what they refer to as, quote, six theaters of war that are on the front lines in today's culture. The theater that I'd like to reference is their third front line. That is media bias designed to reshape people's thinking. The heading alone should scare us to think there is an intent, a plan to reshape our thinking. Briefly, most journalists today share an ideological worldview, not a biblical one. Again, quoting from the article. They support abortion rights, affirmative action, gun control, gay rights, environmental regulation, and oppose school prayer and the death penalty. Moreover, they tend to surround themselves with friends and colleagues who think the same way. The result is that most journalists don't view themselves as political liberals. They simply believe that all reasonable and humane people think the way they do. In their eyes, they are politically middle of the road. They divide Americans into two kinds of people, moderates like themselves and right-wing nuts. Although many of today's print, internet, and television journalists claim to be neutral, they increasingly report news and information from an anti-Christian outlook, which includes support for many societal ills that have corrupted and degraded American culture. Again, I'll repeat the question raised in the Ehrlichial article. In light of all this, why should we let such people tell us what to think? Throughout the day, we constantly see or hear things that are contrary to God's way. It's not easy to avoid being affected by what we see or hear. Whether we realize it or not, we can become lazy or tired and fail to resist things that conflict with the truth or the laws of God. But we have to think about what we read and view and question, where the ideas are coming from, and how they're trying to make us think. We need to ask ourselves whether this is how God thinks and how he wants us to think. Satan can be very subtle. He presents his ideas as enlightened or woke. Sometimes they even seem right to us, because often we're only vaguely aware of the forces that influence our thinking, and yet it is our thoughts, what we think about, that is going to influence our actions. We have to actively resist the wrong influence of society, and that's not easy. Obviously, Satan isn't going to present his ways as they really are, that is harmful and self-destructive. After all, he transforms himself into an angel, that is a messenger, an angel of light, as we read in 2 Corinthians 11:14. Just remember that his ultimate goal is to make sure that we destroy ourselves. We need to pray for wisdom to recognize the thoughts and ideas that seem like they might be okay, but could turn out to lead us off the path of following God's ways. We should all be very familiar with the admonitions in Proverbs 14 and 6 and Proverbs 16:25. And that is that there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end in the way of death. There's no end to the things most of us have to work on. We can make things easier for ourselves if we don't let the wrong ideas or ideas into our minds in the first place. Let's take advantage of the fact that we're all walking the same walk. Let's encourage one another. Let's fill our minds with the kinds of thoughts that will leave no place for the devil.